Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
And how is everybody?
Good.
Fine, good. Okay, what we're going to do today is lesson six, and it is culture two. And if you've noticed, many of these questions are somewhat related to questions we had last week about Kabuki and Bundaku. So what I'm going to do is put in the middle many questions about Kabuki, Bundaku, and other things that are related to what we did last week, and have you give you a chance to practice what we did last week too. So with that, okay, so what we're going to do then is do lesson six today. And we'll start with the first question, and it is, I have seen two types of curtains. One was red and one was a red and white one, and the other was a black and white one. What are they? What is the difference between them? Okay, and in this answer, it's rather simple. One of the things you can say is just that the red and white curtains are, or is, the red and white curtain is used for. There is in here the word broad, red and white, vertical striped curtain, which is long, right? Because after the students said, with the long red, vertical, white, red and white, wide, there, it's just long. So if you just want to say red and white curtains, or black and white curtains, that's okay. And instead of broad, if you want to say that, I would say wide. The wide vertical stripes. So, the curtain with the wide red and white vertical stripes is used on happy occasions. Okay, in the answer they have celebratory, which is a nice word, but nobody really speaks it. And it's more difficult than happy. So, you know, for that reason, I would just say happy. Because if you look where they talk about black and white curtains, they say they're for sad or unhappy occasions. It's very simple English. And also on the third line they have here, the red and but the black and white vertical stripes is draped on sad or unhappy occasions. Of course, draped on. Drape is to like place something, a cloth over. That's why we call drapes, curtains, drapes, if you've ever heard of the expression. Anyway, you could just say that the black and white vertical stripes are for happy or sad occasions. The black and white stripes are used for, or used on, this type of thing, to make it a little simpler, for instead of using words you're not familiar with. And, you know, you can try whatever you like. Draped on is fine. It's just not really, you know, as common a word to use as that. And so, let's start, and I'll ask you, what are the differences between the red and white and black and white curtains?
The red and white curtains are used on happy occasions, such as entrance and graduation ceremonies at schools. On the other hand, the black and white curtains are used for sad or unhappy occasions, such as funerals. Since ancient times in Japan, red has been the color of celebration because it is associated with the sun. Black has been the color of mourning because it is associated with night and darkness.
Okay. All right, fine. That's a pretty standard model answer. Okay. Let me ask the same question to you. Just one of the things I also will comment on is the last sentence says, black has been the color of mourning because it is associated with night and darkness. You know, black has been the color of sadness, you know, because it is associated with night and death and things like this. So maybe you could, you know, that's another way you might want to say. Anyway, what is your answer about the difference between the red and white and black and white curtains?
The combination of red and white is a symbol for auspicious occasions. They are used on celebrations such as entrance and graduation ceremonies. On the other hand, black is considered as the color of mourning. They are used for unhappy occasions such as funerals.
Okay, good. And so, besides school entrance ceremonies and graduation ceremonies, what are other occasions when red and white curtains are used? Okay, I heard somebody whisper weddings. Okay, so they're used at weddings. And anything else?
Festivals.
Okay, she's saying festivals. Yes, so sometimes festivals have red and white curtains. Okay, she seems to have all the answers. Anything else?
Opening ceremony.
Okay, what is the opening ceremony of what?
Bridge, expressway.
Ah, okay, right. Opening ceremonies, yes, okay. So you don't have to put all of these in, but just giving you an idea, opening ceremonies. Also, what? Groundbreaking ceremonies. When someone is going to build a new building, before they start building, they have a little ceremony to bless the land, right? So they have what we call groundbreaking ceremonies. Okay. And anything else?
My question.
Oh, yeah.
Even in America, you hold that groundbreaking ceremony. It's very usual in Japan. We have to do that. But in your case, you do that. In America,
what I have seen is there's something a little different, and there are things when they put the cornerstone.
Cornerstone.
And it's technically like the last, it's supposed to be like the last brick on the building. And I've seen that at churches. When the church is completed, they'll put in the last stone. Obviously, it's the building is totally complete, and it's only a decoration stone. Mm-hmm. But they do have something like that at a church to bless the church. They'll put the last stone. I've seen that, but I'm not sure about groundbreaking. But I think in Japan you have some little kanji on the buildings.
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah,
but we call it jichinsai.
Yeah, something with finishing.
Oh, there. It's finishing.
No, this is opening.
It's
opening. Right. But in buildings on Japan, isn't there some little plaque in front of I forget it. Something, right?
Yeah, soseki, yes.
Soseki, that's it, yeah. What does that mean? That means...
It's a pound.
Foundation or something, foundation. Stone or something. Yeah, we would say cornerstone in English, yeah. So they put like cornerstone on that building, right? So in English they put what we call the cornerstone.
Oh, okay.
You know, the building was built in 1914 and they'll put something like that. Okay?
Okay.
All right, we will go on with the same question, just to practice again, just to make your answers with a little more variety, a little more content. You could say some of these other things as well. And when you think about funerals, what are other things, besides a funeral, what other occasions are black and white curtains used? When black and white curtains are used, they're used for funerals and also memorial services. I think, you know, they can be used for memorial service, like ishuki or something like that. I think you also put the black and white.
Large scale, huh? In a large scale.
Okay, well, that's fine. They are used. So why don't you want to practice your answer? Sure, okay.
You want about the same.
That's okay, you can practice, okay. Why are these curtains used? What's the difference between the red and white curtains?
The curtain with white, red and white stripes is used on happy occasions, such as entrance and graduation ceremonies at schools, festivals, weddings and opening ceremonies, and placing cornerstones. Whereas black and white one is for sad and unhappy occasions such as funerals. And since ancient times, red has been the color of celebration because it is associated with the sun. Black has been the color of sadness because it is associated with night and darkness.
Good. All right, good. So again, even to practice this, once you have your answer set, then just practice that. You don't need to make any change and just kind of memorize and go over in your mind and speaking what you have. Okay, we'll do the same question. What are the differences between these red and white curtains?
In Japan, the combination of red and white is very is used for happy events. If you see the red and white curtains, the happy event or celebration should be conducted inside the curtain.
Okay.
Such as the commencement, the school entrance, ceremony, the opening ceremony of expressway, etc., the inauguration of the president in a company, etc. On the other hand, the curtain of black and white means the funerals, means the funerals are held inside the curtain. In Japan, white was used for funerals, but at the Meiji Restoration, black color was introduced from the Western countries. So since that time, we are using black and white instead of only white.
Okay, good. I think everything fine. Could you make expressways plural? Did you? Is it?
I said expressway.
Yeah, so I would make that expressways.
Ways.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because you know, we're thinking in there are many more than one. So, anytime there are many, you know, expressways. So, good. Okay, let's just go one more time with the same question. What are the differences between what is the difference between the black and white and red and white curtains?
The red and the white curtain is used on happy occasions such as entrance and graduation ceremonies at the schools, or weddings, or festivals. Since ancient times, red is regarded as the color of celebration because it is associated with the sun. And on the other hand, black and white curtain is used on happy occasions such as funerals or memorial services. Black is regarded as the color of sadness because it is associated with the light and the darkness.
Okay, good. And your question is, if black is associated with dark and sadness, why do people wear black at weddings? Well, it's her turn to answer. So what is the answer? Do you know?
In my opinion,
okay.
The color black is a formal. So
right. Okay, yeah.
People wear black clothing on weddings.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah, so formal is the answer, right? They were formal. The black clothes, because it's formal, right? So, you know, so a lot of people, when they're at happy occasions, they also wear, you know, black clothes, which is also means formal. Okay, good. She answered that so easily. Okay, I have another question then. See if you do this one. Red is used for happy occasions. What is another example when red is used to celebrate something?
I think there are many examples. On wedding ceremonies, people have a red tie, sequins.
Okay, right. People have red sebring, or people have sebring, right? Good, okay.
And also, people eat red rice, red sticky rice,
right?
Sticky hang.
Right.
On happy occasions.
Right. Okay, good. So she's, I think, that's to me sounds very good. That's what I was expecting, red rice and sebring. So tell me, what is sekihan?
Sekihan is sticky rice mixed with red beans. And it is eaten on happy occasions such as the babies after 100 days after babies are born.
Okay.
And on many other happy occasions.
Right, okay, yeah, you could either, I think people have her birthdays,
birthday?
Or what is their 60-year birthday? When they have people celebrate their 60th birthday, and which one?
Red vest.
Oh, yeah, they wear a red vest of that day, right? Okay, and so there are occasions like that. Good. How do you make sekihan? What is the proportion? Does anybody know?
First, you would boil the sticky rice.
Right.
Then,
yeah. What, does anyone know what the proportion is for how much rice to how much beans? No, I heard it's about 10 to 20%. If it's over 20, it becomes too red and the color isn't nice and too many beans. So maybe, you know, 1 to 5 or something like that. Maybe.
Yesterday, my best friend cooked sekihan because her baby became after her baby was born.
Okay. So, 100 days, is that it? Okay, 100 days passed since her baby was born. So they had sekihan. Oh, okay, did you ask her how? Maybe ask her. Okay, good. All right, she also, let's see if you can, she also mentioned sea bream. Why do Japanese eat sea bream on happy occasions?
Sea bream. It's a pronunciation, tai is same pronunciation, medetai.
Okay, the same pronunciation,
the same
pronunciation.
Sea bream is a very expensive fish, so in daily life we cannot buy, so only happy occasions we can eat.
Okay.
And especially red color we eat on happy occasions.
Right, so especially the red red things, red color, probably red, the color red we use on happy occasions. And so what happens when you cook sea bream is it becomes red. Is it originally? It's not really red. It's kind of a grayish-looking color. But when it cooks, it becomes a very nice kind of a red color or pink color. Good. All right. Yeah, that's the answer. So be careful of some of the grammar. The pronunciation is the same. The pronunciation of sea bream in Japanese is tai. It is the same pronunciation as medetai, which means to celebrate or to, you know, auspicious. Okay, good. And sea bream is red when it's cooked, so it becomes a happy color. Okay, we finished with this one. I think we've gone in a little extra about some colors, and I think you did well. Let's go to the next question, and it talks about Enka. Okay. In Enka, I have changed, you know, a few things in the model answer just to make it a little easier. In the first sentence, Enka is a genre of Japanese songs, and that word is, I think I mentioned, it's difficult to pronounce. Even Americans, it's a French word. So we don't say it's genre, we don't know how to say it. So type, use the English type, T-Y-P-E. What Enka is a type of Japanese song. What I've done next is its lyrics are about, so it characterized by is, again, textbook English. So its lyrics are about love. What are they about? Love? Or actually, you know, what are these? Unlucky love? Love, unlucky love, broken hearts. Leaving home, etc. In other textbooks, they have said it's about, you know, love and partying. And sometimes if students don't have the correct pronunciation, you're partying, like having a party. And I think, what is so sad about having a party? Usually parties are for fun occasions, right? So it's about love and partying. And I go, partying? You know, so pronunciation, it sounds incorrect. So that's why I say leaving home. There's no mistake. Partying means, yes, sometimes, you know, parting from breaking up is another one. But people would say parting. So it's a leaving home or breaking up. Okay, so there's lots of things that these Enka songs sing about. And you can list some of these. if you want to, you know, add a little bit more. Okay. They have this mingled, this answer has mingled feelings of joy and some mingled feelings, just, you know, just, we don't really need mingled, being mixed up. You have feelings of both joy and sorrow together, kind of. So mixed up is another word to say, and mixed up feelings of joy and sorrow, or just, you know, mention this whole list of things if you'd like. Okay, so that's how I would do. Enka is a type of Japanese song. Its lyrics are about love, breaking up, broken hearts, leaving home, and this type of thing. Okay, so whose turn? Your turn? All right, what is Enka?
Enka is a type of Japanese song. Its lyrics are about love, broken hearts, leaving homes, breaking up, and so on. Enka songs have existed in Japan since the 1920s, but they reached their height of popularity in the 1960s and 70s. Even now, many older Japanese people enjoy singing Enka songs at karaoke.
Okay, good. And do you like Enka?
I don't listen to it.
You don't listen to it. Who's a popular Enka singer?
There are many older people, but these days, it was kind of a news that an American guy,
yeah.
Singing Enka.
Right.
His name is Jero.
Right. So he's one of the, he's half Japanese, half American, yeah. Black American, and sings Enka, right?
So yeah. That was kind of a news.
That was kind of news, right. So these kind of novelty, interesting, good. Okay, how about you? What is Enka?
Enka is a kind of a melodramatic Japanese popular song. It's originated in Meiji era during the early 19th century. And Enka songs are 1 to 6 minutes long and are performed standing. And particularly women singer wears a kimono while singing. And it's lyrics?
Words. Lyrics, lyrics.
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 Okay. It's words. Its words are tragic and sometimes even amusing, and about unlucky love, broken hearts, leaving home, and etc. And drinking songs are common, usually to help, drown my sorrows in drinks.
Drown
my sorrows in drinks.
Right.
And anyway, arrangement use a very unique mixture of Western and Japanese musical instruments, from koto to electronic guitar.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah. I didn't mention the word lyrics. I was after it. In fact, she had trouble. If you don't like the word lyrics, you can say the words. That's a lot of times the words. You don't have to say lyrics if you don't like. Lyrics is fine. If you don't like that, just say the words. Good. How about you? Are you an Enka fan?
I'm not familiar with Enka, but nowadays it's a... A few years ago, a very younger singer named Hikawa Kiyoshi.
Hikawa Kiyoshi, right?
Yeah. He is an idol among
older ladies. Yes, you can say it.
He is scored as a prince of the.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's kind of young, so maybe they like the young guy. Okay. Right. So he's famous, I think, with old-time people, Yashiro Aki, right? And these type of people. What's that lady that never ages? Sayuri?
Ishikawa
Sayuri. She never gets old, it looks like. she stays young-looking, right? So she's popular, and so... Good. Okay. We'll ask you the same question. What is Enka?
Enka is a type of music characterized by sentimental ballads of love, broken hearts, parting, and home. Like country music in the U.S., Enka has a distinctive melodic in singing style. Generally speaking, Enka is especially popular among older age groups.
Okay. Where can people sing Enka?
Where? Karaoke.
Right. What's a karaoke?
What's a karaoke? Karaoke. It's a recording and...
Yes. Singing to...
To accompaniment of recorded music.
Right. Okay. Singing to the accompaniment, or singing to recorded music.
Recorded music.
Right. Well, the lyrics or the words are displayed on a screen.
I see. I have never been there, so I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, you should try. You should try. Maybe you can sing Enka.
I don't know any word about it.
Okay, good. All right, so yeah, I think we kind of asked that last week, but this is this week's question. So what about you? What is Enka?
Enka is a traditional Japanese ballad with melancholic lyrics and melody since the 1920s.
Since the 1920s?
Since the 1920s. Every part of Japanese life is condensed in Enka. For example, love, broken heart, leaving homes, and so on. Today, young people prefer Japanese pop and Western music to Enka. It looks like that only senior people enjoy Enka, which is sad to me.
Okay, good. This time, it's Japanese pop and Western music. I know you made it plural this time, but we don't need...
Oh, pop.
Yeah.
Not folks.
No, unfortunately. Oh, okay. English is crazy, yeah. So Japanese pop and, what did you say, foreign music?
I said Western music.
Yeah, so just Western music is... Usually music is singular, uncountable, maybe. Yeah.
I can say Western music.
Yeah. No. No S.
No S.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, good. All right, good. Good answer. All right. And what is a karaoke box?
Karaoke box is the place where you can sing your favorite songs. Accompanied by the recorded machine music. It's a small one, maybe it holds, it contains only 2 or 3 to 5 to 6, not so big one. And maybe 10, I'm not so sure.
Okay, not 10 what? Rooms or seats or people?
10 people.
Oh, okay, right. So right, so 10 people can maybe go in the room or. Two is maybe small, but maybe they have that. I don't know, like a date or karaoke or something. I don't know.
You can have some snack with a very reasonable price.
Right, snacks.
Snacks.
Yeah. Good. All right, so karaoke box is basically a karaoke room where you can sing karaoke songs. And in companies have one, maybe rent floors of room, floors on buildings, and then there are many of these karaoke rooms, and you can go there with your friends. Good. Okay. All right. One more time. What is Enka?
Enka is a type of Japanese popular
songs,
sings about life, love, especially lost love. It's like a blues.
Blues?
Blues in America.
Okay.
And the melody and the words are very emotional. And Enka singers sing Enka with using vibrato, kobushi. And it's the kobushi makes Enka more emotional. Enka is popular, especially among senior people, and they like to sing Enka on karaoke.
Right. Okay. Good. Right. She mentioned vibrato. is that, I don't know, V-R-A-B-V-I-B-R-A-T-T-O?
No.
Is this correct? Okay, vibrato. Yeah, this is an Italian word. It comes like vibrate. Your voice vibrates. That kind of thing, right? So, good. Yeah, that's a feature of karaoke, is this vibrato or this vibrating, or some people say, it's a difficult word to pronounce, but warbling, like the same thing, like go, 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 go. I can't sing. But okay, good. So vibrato is something that's also a feature of Inca. Okay, why don't we go to the next question, which is, what is Joruri?
Joruri is a traditional storytelling songs.
Okay, could you say that again?
Joruri is a traditional storytelling songs.
Okay.
It was originally accompanied by biwa. But when shamisen was introduced in Japan in the 16th century, joruri is played by shamisen. And in the early 17th century, it began to be used as background music of Bunraku puppet theater. And today, the term joruri refers to the Bunraku music.
Okay, good. All right. What is Bunraku?
Bunraku is a traditional Japanese puppet theater for adults, and the themes of Bunraku theater are ties between children and parents, duty and obligation, and tragic love, and the puppet size is about 1 meter, and three puppeteers move the puppet. Hmm.
Okay, good, right. Good, let's ask her. What is Joruri?
Joruri is a back song of puppet Bunraku.
Can we background song?
Background song of Bunraku. And it is accompanied by biwa, anciently, but nowadays accompanied by shamisen. And Joruri is very narrative storytelling, so explains the story of puppet show.
Right. Okay, good. What is biwa?
Biwa is a Japanese banjo.
Okay, you said lute?
Lute. Usually has 4 to 5 strings. And Japan's largest Lake Biwa, has the same shape of the biwa musical instrument. Mm-hmm. So it is named after the biwa musical instrument.
Right, okay, you answered question 12 already. Good, I asked it. Yeah, I think in the first part you said it was, you said lute or light or something, right? Did you say that? If we go back and listen, I think you said something that wasn't lute.
Lute.
Yeah, I think it's a lute or light or something, but it's the lute, L-U-T-E, which is an old stringed instrument.
How about the mandolin, Japanese mandolin?
Yeah, it's like a mandarin. Mandolin.
Mandolor.
Let's see, I think it's the M-A-N-D-O-L-I-N, mandolin.
Mandolin.
Yeah, there's a coffee I love, mandarin or something, but that's with an R. This is L-I-N. Also, mikan are what, mandarin oranges.
Oh.
But with an R.
Oh.
So mandolin is with an L, mandarin, M-A-N-D-A-R-I-N is mandarin oranges, like mikan.
Mandarin.
Yeah, and then there's a coffee from Indonesia, mandarin or something like that, similar. But this is a mandolin. Make sure the L is pronounced correctly. Okay, good. All right. And what is Joruri?
Joruri is a traditional storytelling song, personally accompanied by biwa, which is a Japanese banjo. But now it's accompanied by shamisen. Today the term usually refers to the music of Bundaku Puppet Theater.
Okay, and where can I see Bundaku?
I don't know.
Not sure, okay. Where can we see?
If I remember right, it's performed in National Theater, located in Hirakawa Cho.
Okay. Is that, I don't know, Hira, National Theater, yeah.
Yeah, National Theater.
Is that what, Nanicho?
It's close to Nagatacho.
Nagatacho, yeah, the National Theater. Okay, good. And where in Osaka can you see?
Osaka, Bundakudo? No.
I think it's Bundakuza. Yeah.
So National Bundakuza.
Yeah, that's the Bundaku Theater, right, in Osaka, right. Good. What is the Joruri?
Joruri is a traditional storytelling song, originally accompanied by biwa and later by shamisen. Today, Joruri usually refers to the music of the Bundaku Puppet Theater. One of the greatest storyteller was Takemoto Gidayu in Edo period. In the Edo period, collaboration with Chikamatsu Monzaemon, one of the greatest playwrights, raised the puppet Bundaku Theater
he raised the status of Bundaku. Okay.
He raised the status
of Bundaku.
Of Bundaku.
Right. Okay. Why don't you try that again? The last mention about.
Okay, Joruri is a traditional storytelling song, originally accompanied by biwa and later by shamisen. Mm. Today, Joruri usually refers to the music of the Bundaku Theater, and one of the greatest storytellers was Takemoto Gidayu in the Edo period. He collaborated with Chikamatsu Monzaemon, one of the greatest playwrights, and he raised the status
of Bundaku. Okay, good. All right. So just practice that. Okay, I'll ask you, what is Joruri?
Joruri is a traditional narrative ballad originally accompanied by biwa and later by shamisen. Today, the term usually refers to the music of the Bundaku Puppet Theater. And one of the greatest Bundaku storytellers in the history is Takemoto Gidayu in Edo period, and Chikamatsu Monzaemon is the greatest playwright at that time.
Right. Okay. Good. At the Edo period. I know many students make mistakes, but whenever you mention a period, a specific name of a period, rather, you know, like Edo or, you know, Kamakura or something, but you need the Edo period. You need the, you know, Kamakura period. You need the Meiji period. So don't forget the. I hear this a lot. During Meiji period. But no, during the Meiji period. So
did you always pronounce that?
No, I didn't hear the. Oh. But if you have it there in writing, you'll just next time say it, I'm sure. Okay. Yeah, but I've heard several people today mentioned it without the. And it's kind of incorrect grammar, so I want to point that out. Okay. I'll ask, what is... tell me, just we know what Joruri is, so tell me, what is Ningyo Joruri?
Oh, Ningyo Joruri is Ningyo Joruri is a puppet play It is the combination of Joruri and Puppet prayer. And in that, Joruri is is chanted by narrators, just like a song. Mm-hmm. And the puppet theater's movements synchronize with the Joruri's chanting. It is it's completely synchronized with each other. So the
synchronized with each other. They are.
They are synchronized.
With each other.
So the puppet theater movement is just like human.
Right.
So they, the prospectors forget they are operated by human.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah, Ningyo Joruri just refers to Bundaku, I believe. Actually, it was originally called Ningyo Joruri, and the name changed. But in Osaka, a lot of people still refer to it as Ningyo Joruri rather than Bundaku, I've heard. Okay. Let me just ask you, tell me about the puppeteers in the Bundaku Theater.
In the Bundaku Theater, brand puppet is moved by three puppeteers. The main puppeteer moved the head and the right hand, and the second puppeteer moves left hand, and the third puppeteer moves the feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what do they wear?
The main puppeteer wears kimono.
But wears the kimono.
Wears kimono. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And the other people wear in black.
They wear black clothes.
Wear black clothes.
Right. Because?
Because the people wear the black, it's like not exist.
Right, that is because the people wearing black is it's like the people wearing black don't exist.
Don't exist.
Right, or it's because the people look like they are not existent. Or they look, are not to be seen.
Not to be seen.
Yeah, there's many ways you can say that. Okay, good. Okay, I think we've covered this. Okay. Anything, questions about this Joruri? I never, you know, I mentioned at the end now, but just as a hint, there's a way you could maybe say this different also, this accompanied by. You said that very well, those of you who did that, but Joruri is a traditional narrative song originally sung to biwa and then to shamisen. So sung to, originally sung to biwa and then to shamisen. But your answers are fine if you don't like to say it. If you've said that, fine, so there's no problem. But just a different way to say this if you want to say something maybe a little easier. Sung, S-U-N-G. So originally sung to biwa and then to shamisen. Okay, the next is Hanamichi. Can you tell me what is Hanamichi?
Hanamichi is an extended pathway from the Kabuki stage to the audience. And Hanamichi literally means flower path, and audiences give flowers to their favorite Kabuki actors in the Edo period.
Okay. Maybe they gave flowers to their favorite actors when the actors were on the Hanamichi. Do you want to try that again? Okay.
Hanamichi is an elevated pathway from the Kabuki stage to the audience, where Kabuki actors can have close contact with the audience. And Hanamichi literally means flower path, and the audience gave proverbs to their favorite actors when they are on the stage.
Yeah, probably they, then, is it people on the stage or actors? But technically, yeah,
on the stage.
Yeah, that's actually very precise, no mistake. Good, okay. And I know in the answer here they have on the second line, it said, from the stage through the audience. I like into the audience better. From the stage into the audience. Okay, what is Hanamichi? I'll ask you, what is Hanamichi?
Hanamichi is literally flower path. Hanamichi, we can see in Kabuki theater. From the main stage, Hanamichi is extended to the audience. From the audience, Hanamichi is located on the left side, and the audience can feel the Kabuki actor much closer to them, because Kabuki actors come very close to the audience, not to only for the front line, but to the back line's audience.
Okay, so Paul said not that they come close to the audience, not only on the stage, not only on the front stage, but also on the Hanamichi. If you say back and front line, it's a little confusing. Okay, you want to try that again?
Not only front audience, but all the audience in the theater feel much closer to the actor.
Good. All right, yeah, that works. That sounds better. Yeah, good. Okay, what is Hanamichi?
Hanamichi, which literally means flower path, is the raised platform which extends from the stage to the audience in the Kabuki theater. It is actually an extension of the stage on which the actors can come into close contact with the audience.
Okay, good. And I'll ask you the same question. What is Hanamichi?
Hanamichi, Murabare means flower path. This is a very unique feature of the Kabuki stage. And it is the raised platform extended into the stage through the audience in a Kabuki theater. It's actually an extension of the stage where the actor can come into close contact with the audience. And the name may originally have referred to our way of gifts, because the Hanamichi is often piled up with gifts or money, flowers, or something like that.
Okay, for the actors.
For the actor.
Right. Okay, good. All right, let's go to Kabuki. Can you tell me what is Kabuki?
Kabuki.
Yeah, let's practice some of the questions from last week.
Kabuki is a Japanese traditional stage art, stage play.
Okay.
And exclusively played by men.
Okay.
And it started in 1603 by a female called Izumo no Okuni.
Okay.
But it's banned. Female play is banned because
female actresses.
Actresses banned because of the too much sexiness of kimono wearing.
Okay.
And since then, men are exclusively playing on stage.
Right. And what are the nice features of Kabuki?
The gorgeous, the Kabuki actors
right.
wear gorgeous, elaborate makeups and costumes.
Costumes, right. Good. All right, good. You remember that pretty well. Good. And what are the three special features of the Kabuki stage?
There are three features on the stages. One is a rotating stage. The second one is elevated passageway from
elevated
the raised
Thank you. I was just going to say, if you don't want elevated, raised.
Raised, stageway, from the passageway,
okay,
from the stage to the dressing room.
Okay.
And trapdoor.
Okay.
From which the actors appears and disappears. Not horizontally, but
right. Okay, trapdoor. Yeah, goes usually up and down, or they can go come and go. Right. Good. All right. Good. Can you tell me what is seri on the kabuki stage?
Seri is a trapdoor through which kabuki actors appear and disappear. It's the characteristic of the kabuki stages.
Okay, and what is the revolving Mawari Butai?
Mawari Butai is a revolving stage, and it enables just the scenes of kabuki plays to change quickly, and it is one of the outstanding features of kabuki stages.
Okay, so it allows what to change?
Allows scenes of kabuki plays to change quickly.
Right, good. Yeah, so remember the scenes to change. So it allows the changing of scenes, or what you said was fine. Good. Okay, why don't we just go, everybody's okay. Where could we see, let's ask you, where could we see kabuki?
Where? Kabuki Ginza? Kabuki Ginza is now rebuilding, so...
Is now being rebuilt?
Being rebuilt, right. So very close to Kabukiza, there is Enbujo.
Yeah.
Enbujo. So you can see Kabuki. And in Kyoto, there is other Kabukiza. I don't know the exact name. So... it's very difficult to get the kabuki's ticket. So if you have a friend of a member of kabuki fan club, through that friend you can get the ticket.
Yeah, I heard sometimes the performance is hard to get, right? You need connections. Yeah, okay. Right, so the kabuki-za is being rebuilt.
Kabukiza is being rebuilt.
Right, I hear a lot of people is building, rebuilding, or is being rebuilt. And then there's a place in Shinbashige, Enbujo.
Shinbashi.
Yeah, and then also, I forget, the Kyoto does have also a Kabukiza theater. So, good.
Sometimes they come to local district. But
oh, yeah,
the stage is not so gorgeous.
Oh, okay. I guess I don't live in the local district, but the kabuki actors will travel also. Okay, is everybody okay with these questions? We'll go on to question number five. What is Hanetsuki? So, I really didn't have too much about this answer. I think it's fine. Girls dressed in kimono who are traditionally dressed in kimono. I don't know if you asked me what is the difference, is that, you know, not all the girls maybe played while wearing kimono, so maybe girls traditionally, because it's New Year's, would wear the kimono and play the game. Okay, so what is Hanetsuki?
Hanetsuki is a traditional New Year game similar to badminton. It is played with an ornamented wooden paddle by girls who traditionally dresses in kimono.
Okay. Good. All right. There's some strange words about this that might come up. Let me see what your answers are. Okay. You have the model answer? No. All right. Let's see what happens. Okay.
Hanetsuki is a traditional Japanese New Year's game played with a wooden paddle called Hagoika and a shuttle called Hane.
Okay.
It looks like a badminton that is played without a net.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And while the game's popularity has decreased today, but beautiful, very beautiful ornamented Hakuita, still a very popular collection item.
Okay, good. All right, fine. And what is Hanetsuki?
Hanetsuki. That's a Japanese traditional game similar to badminton without a net, played with a rectangular wooden paddle called Hagoita and a brightly colored shuttlecock, often played by girls at the New Year. And the Hagoita is a board that bounces back evils, supposedly.
Okay.
And wishing for girls happy and healthy growth. That's the Hagoita for. And although Hanetsuki is not as popular as it used to be, decorative Hagoita is commonly sold throughout Japan around the New Year.
Okay, right. Decorative Hagoita really are sold.
Are sold.
Right. Okay. What happens when a person loses or misses the shuttlecock in Hanetsuki? Traditionally, what happens if you lose?
Okay. In this case, the girls are supposed to get punishment.
Okay.
It's usually painted with brush, Indian ink brush.
Okay, so the answer is that. Can you make that a more, let's just say, nicer answer? Just think of simple English. What happens when the girl loses?
She's punished.
Okay, she's punished.
With Indian ink on the face.
Yes, okay, that's good grammar and that's a good answer. So she's punished with India ink painted on the face. Yeah, little circles or is it X's and circles, and each time they make a little extra mark, right? Good. Okay, what are some other New Year's games what are some other traditional New Year's games?
For boys, raising a kite.
Okay, flying a kite?
Flying a kite. And pray. Tops.
Playing with tops.
Playing with tops.
Okay.
And
okay.
We call it Karuta, which is like trump.
But it's like cards.
Like cards. Yeah. There are many cards, and someone read the waka, which is the foil,
mm-hmm.
and then they pick up the one card, listening
to the poem. They pick up the card associated with that poem,
associated with the foil.
Okay, good. Let me ask Kurt, what is fukuwarai?
Fukuwarai is one of the Japanese traditional New Year's games. On the mat, the face of women is painted,
okay.
And which has no eyes and nose and mouth, and people hide their eyes.
Okay, people are blindfolded, or people wear a blindfold.
People wear
a blind fold. BLINDFOLD. People wear a blindfold, or people's eyes are covered.
People wear a blindfold.
Uh-huh.
They try to put their each part correct.
Right. And because they are blindfolded, they cannot see, so the face looks funny, usually, right? So people laugh at the face. Okay, good. So these are some traditional New Year's games. There's also another type. Isn't it a type of card game? Is it Hyakuni Ishu? What is that? Is that the right word? Hyakuni Ishu. Can you tell me what that is?
Hyakuni Ishu is 100 poems of famous poets from the Heian period to the Kamakura period.
Okay, maybe I'm not sure either. Okay, famous poems.
Yes, and the themes of Hyakuni Ishu are loves and beautiful nature. And Hyakuni Ishu is played like a karuta. And one people would read the third line of Hyakuni Ishu, and other people would touch the card. I guess.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly. One person reads. It's simple. One person reads a part of
Hyakuni Ishu,
and the other person finds the rest.
Yes.
Right. The other part, in among the cards. Right. Okay. Good. All right. We'll take a break from here. We will talk about more games from the next question. So, okay. We'll see you in a few minutes.